you are about to hear Bob's Slacktime Funhouse is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Stardate 2434.2. First Officer's Log. On a routine patrol flight in the Milky Way galaxy, I discovered on our space sensors an unidentified planet careening wildly in an eccentric solar orbit. I ordered an immediate investigation and with much difficulty maneuvered our ship for a temporary orbit. Upon beaming down to the planet's surface, all I could see were ruins. Ruins of some type of civilization. Crumbled buildings, deserted streets, charred vegetation, all covered with a thick layer of dust, which our scanners indicated as intensely radioactive. I proceeded to make a thorough survey of the area. According to my calculations, I could tell that some recent phenomenon or holocaust had occurred and destroyed whatever advanced civilization had existed on the planet. I found no sign of life. As I made my way back to the ship, I heard a sound. It came from a cellar in one of the nearby buildings. Carefully and slowly, I found my way to the source and discovered a human being. Or rather, what once was a human being. A scarred, disfigured man lying in the rubble. When I questioned him, he told me that this had once been a great world. They had abundance and plenty. Intelligence, beauty, love. There was enough for everyone who lived there. But the inhabitants were never satisfied. They wanted more. They wanted everything. They started to quarrel amongst themselves. They could not live in peace, and they tried to destroy each other. In doing this, they destroyed everything. Their abundance, their plenty, their own intelligence, their beauty, their love. He told me that so far as he knew, he was the only living thing left, but that he knew he was dying. When I asked him the name of the planet, he replied, "We called it Earth."
Oh my God, you blew it up! Damn you all to hell!
This was a real, truly live place. And I remember that some of it wasn't very nice, but most of it was beautiful. But just the same, all I kept saying to everybody was, "I want to go home."
Then close your eyes and think to yourself, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home."
Hey, aren't you gonna turn that damn clock radio off? It's been flashing 7 a.m. for 2 frickin' weeks now. Ooh, I have to do everything for you. Here, let me put on some ambiance for you. You like that, don't you? Yeah, some nice soothing pablum to ease your troubled mind. Poor flus, just let it soak into your shattered little brain. Oh, soothing. Minute. You evil witch! That isn't funny at all! Ah, ease up. You were flat out kooking on that song a couple weeks ago. So what's with the long face, Puddin'?
Oh, like you don't know.
Ah, yeah, but I like to experience the pain I cause through your perspective. This is so sweet. So, you went up to Ranch Apocalypse with hundreds of other drooling bobbies looking to get off planet with them here pie-in-the-sky sex goddesses, huh? And, ooh, you wound up getting royally reamed for your bright and shining faith, didn't you? Surprise! Ooh, and what did you get for your trouble? Cuts, bruises, blisters, sunstroke, and ha! One hell of a chest cold. Ooh, and on top of that, you really burned your bridges behind you when you flipped that final end of the world bird at all your co-hosts and both of your listeners. But you did that! Did I? Really? Hey, who's to know? Who can tell where I end and you begin? Hey, Sparky. It's Saturday night again. You still have a show to do.
Oh, screw the show.
Oh, well, you sure got your wish last Saturday night. Thanks to you bugging out, that was one screwed show. You know what went on in your precious little fun house while you were too vegged out to pull your shift?
I don't care.
Yeah, you don't care that surf music maniac Rex Reverb spent a whole hour of church time playing Miserloo over and over and over? On tonight, he's planning to play 25 versions of Surfer Joe, the vocal.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. It doesn't matter anymore. There is no show. There is no church. There is no...
Bob? There is no Bob, is there? Yeah, you've been on a loser's treadmill for years now, and for nothing. It's all over, Flues. Little Ivan's house of cards got blown down. Hey, wake up and smell the mail fraud. Yeah, the Federal Trade Commission and the IRS and the National Council of Churches are closing in on that little weasel. He's gonna be sharing a cell with Glenn Turner. Yep, looks like you've been humping the wrong leg, Sugar Plum. All your subgenius boyfriends are going to be taking the fall for this. Oh, a hard rain's a-coming from this shakedown, and I, for one, ain't sticking around to take it on the chin.
Oh, jeez. Won't you just wrap those poisonous lips of yours around another cliche?
Hey, consider the source, baby. Everything in me comes from you.
Oh, great.
But unlike you, I'm looking out for our future. Look at it this way. You could use this opportunity to change directions. And your ministry has been steadily declining ever since you started this fiasco. But hey, up isn't exactly an option with you. Well, maybe you could just go down at a steeper angle. Oh, or hey, you and that co-host of yours could do, one of those drive-time things, like those, you know, those local radio idiots, Stink and Sticky, or whatever their names are. Yeah, think of the billboards. You could take callers, yeah. Hey, you got a natural flair for comedy. Except for that. Look, this miserable little dog and prairie squid show of yours could be made to turn a profit. That insipid Bob stuff has been keeping you out of the big time, Flues. You could be straddling a success rocket to the moon.
Oh, but I like straddling WREK Atlanta just fine.
All right, the mindless loyalty card. You know they keep you and the big band show guy around just so they can get senior citizens kickbacks from the federal government? And what do you think they put you on at this hour? You know this town closes down at 10 o'clock. And look at this equipment here. It's all held together with spit and scotch tape.
Oh, but they have hearts.
Oh, yeah, well, I got a heart, too, and it's bleeding for you. Got a tampon?
No, but I do have a wooden stake, bitch. Take that.
No.
Ow. Oh. Oh, damn it.
Well. Well, it's one less Susie to worry about.
It smells like summer's eve in here.
was.
I'm sweetness and light, Susie, and you freed me from my earthly prison. At last I'm free to spread my message of love and joy and peace throughout the world.
Give me back that steak, sister. Hey, I'm pretty good at this.
Oh, my left boob. Oh, why'd you have to go and do that? Jeez, Flues, you sure can't take criticism.
Look, you bitch. I only have one steak, and I hate her more than I hate you. So just shut your stinking trap and crawl back in my cortex and just do your friggin' job, okay?
Whatever you say.
I have a show to do.
Yeah.
you're waking from a bad dream. Don't you sometimes think it's real? But it's only all emotion that you feel.
As painful as it is to contemplate, I guess we should really begin at the beginning. July 5th, 1998. Dawn just like every other day in Dallas.
I can't do this, Bob.
Shut up, Miranda! This community is going to learn to obey the law.
Why should we obey laws that are twisted to fit the needs of thieves and liars?
Take it easy, Bob.
Arrest him!
He's a deputy marshal.
Don't let that stop you, Sheriff. I'm fed up with the law around here. This court can accept my resignation right now.
Wait a minute, Bob.
Come on, get going, boys.
Bob, come on.
Sorry about this. I'll get in touch with you. Thanks for trying, Todd.
Hey, it's Exodus. Come right here.
A ship that will take you anywhere you want to go in the universe. That's the kind of flying saucer I mean.
No kidding.
Yes, no kidding. And if it doesn't turn out to be true, you can have your worm back.
Well, I don't know about that. Oh, all right. Sounds all right to me, I suppose.
I didn't catch your name, mister.
Dobbs. Once again, Superman concentrates. Like a laser, his mind beams the exact course they must take to the silver creatures who wait, shivering, just a foot above the Earth's surface.
First thing he says is watch out for religious deception. Sincerity is not enough. The devil's sincere, but he's not saved. Adolf Hitler was sincere, but he's in hell. Sincerity is not enough. You've got to be sincerely right. You can be sincerely wrong.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Everything you know is wrong.
Then, like a plague of locusts, the alien creatures rise up, up into the sky, up until they become once again a tiny, tiny dark cloud above the highest mountaintop. And then, finally, can be seen no more.
As the screen fell, Dorothy and her pals saw a most unusual sight. Behind the screen was a tiny, little, old man with a bald head and wrinkled face.
Who are you?
I am the Wizard of Oz.
But I thought the Wizard of Oz was a huge head or an invisible man or...
No, I'm not really the Great Wizard of Oz. I'm just a phony. I'm a humbug. All that.
Well, Mr. Stang, it was an almost foolproof plan.
I should have stayed with the Promise Keepers.
No redemption from evil and sin. No redemption.
Okay. Is anyone here not a downer? Anyone?
Damn it. It fell apart like everything else I've ever believed in. Oh, I guess it's back to good old-fashioned voodoo.
Wow, I need a drink.
Come with me.
Terrible. Now I'll never get a heart. And I will never get a brain. And I'll never get any courage.
And I guess I'll never get back home.
I'm awfully sorry. I didn't mean any harm. I was just pretending.
But why did you do it?
Well, it's a long story. You see, I was born in Nebraska.
That may have been the way it happened, Mr. Stang. But suppose it wasn't.
Oh, nuts.
Hello. Yeah, who's this?
My name is Bobby Dobbs.
You come here and take our jobs. You're dead. You were on your scam.
All right.
What's that thing alive? You're dead. I mean it. Dead.
But you did call it. But simply to explain, Stang, the jury has already heard the testimony about the phone call.
There's no use trying to pull the wool over my eyes.
The damage is done. Don't apologize. It's much too late now to forgive you for your lies. Oh, 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 I give you my heart and soul. Now it's such a bitter pill to find you only wanted the taste of a brand new pill. The damage is done. I've been such a fool. This is the last time that I ever will be burned. All the damage is done.
The wizard turned away, and Dorothy whispered to the lion how the people didn't want the wizard anymore.
Oh, we were fools to trust any man.
Have you been such a fool, such a dolt, such an idiot, such a dum-dum, as to give away my Pinky, the best stuff and maker in the neighborhood, and most quieter than most worms as well, for a saucer without a matching cup? Take that!
Ow! Ow! Oh, my!
Baba, I think I got a little problem.
And me, I just stick it up and get it over with.
Oh, Grant, Bob generally knows what he's doing. He does everything for the best.
Well, Bob, what are we going to do?
I don't know. That's great. We go home, they hang us. We stay here, we starve to death.
All right, you dealt the other way now, Dobbs.
If I'm not back tonight, don't wait for me. I'll meet you in Denver, Mountain Hotel.
Wait a minute, Bob. Me and the boys have been talking. How about taking over the bank in town before we split up?
Nothing to it, Bob.
I told you we were through, didn't I? Now get out of here the way we planned, all of you.
Bob says we're through.
But why? A shame to leave all that money down there.
Yeah.
That town owes us plenty.
It sure does.
It sounds good, but what about Bob's orders? He won't even know about it till we give him his share.
Yeah, right.
Bob, couldn't we take our fight to another county where we could get a fair trial?
That's a good idea, Ben, but it takes money. We haven't got it.
Christ. Who announced the bet?
Hey, I dub. What I owe you? With interest.
Get that out of here. Come on. Come on,
Bob.
Come on.
The other officers quickly take up the slack.
Thanks, Bob. You got me out there just in time.
This ain't right, Bob.
Nothing's right anymore. Go on. Go on. Get going.
It won't be like before. There just won't be any more.
Well, I want him. Say, wizard, guess what? I just now quit.
Why did I quit? Because after you've been taken aboard a UFO, it's kind of hard to top that, all right? You know, they have Alcoholics Anonymous. They don't have Alien Anonymous. I lost my wife. I lost an alien culture who wanted to take me to the planet Arcturus. I mean, I don't know if I've gotten the resentment, you know, forgiveness part down in the program.
I turned to a cult for mindless happiness when I had beer all along.
You taking it?
No.
I'm letting go.
Okay, let go.
Okay, fine.
Dad, Bob broke your beer.
No, I didn't. Doug broke it. It was you.
Clean up the mess, boy.
Ridiculous. Perhaps, Mr. Stang.
In the middle of the room was a big, green, marble throne. Sitting on the throne, well, it wasn't exactly sitting, because it was nothing but a big head. No body, just a head. As Dorothy stared, wide-eyed, the big, bald head said,
Dobbs, go get the dynamite.
Oh,
the bleeding head of Otto Palmer has been destroyed.
Oh, my God!
It was not supposed to be like that. The premature head launching, but nonetheless, a lead launching. And now, because
they're always premature,
we're going to have Jader launch the head. If anybody has any flashlights, we need some flashlights over here. We need a superstar needs some lights.
Flashlights. I know you guys have them.
There's one down there.
Break them out. Break out the flashlights.
Hold a mini one. There's some
light. Then let's launch the bleeding head of Tiger Woods.
Ladies and gentlemen, we stay. Stay directly.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just seen the destruction of the bleeding head of Arnold Palmer. I think this shows everyone just how far the conspiracy is going to go to try to stop the X's landing, because it's the Palmer head, which is the perfect golfer who has the golf plan, who's actually working with the Wyeth to try to stop the X's, that the conspiracy is trying to connect with the Wyeth, which is connecting him with things that have 7-Elevens for heads, which isn't exactly the same thing as the thing with a U-Totem for a head, which is different actually from a thing with an 812 store for a head.
A witness who can prove you are lying, Mr. Stang. Now there's our third witness.
I think I'll start by reading you one that isn't there. Terribly serious, but it explains what his views were. When people ask, my answer is, no, he really did not believe in a serious way in UFOs, and this might be an indication of that. UFOs is a bucket of
Mr. Stang.
Is a bucket of
I just come up behind him with a knife and split his throat real quick like.
So I grabbed him by the collar and I jerked him out of the car and said, buddy, I ain't never seen nobody like you are. How come you pull these kind of jokes? He said, well, sometime it works, sometime it don't. And I thought, what kind of deal is this?
It's a bad joke.
That's great.
Your words don't mean what they used to mean. They were once inspired, now they're just routine. I'm afraid the masquerade is over, and so is love, and so is love.
You've been through so darn much lately. What do you think's going to happen to you now?
I don't know. Gotta nuke something.
Touché.
Have you thought about one of the other major religions? They're all pretty much the same.
What if we pick the wrong religion? Every week we're just making God madder and madder.
Testify!
You just gotta learn not to expect nothing out of life. Were you fixing to say a little something about how life don't seem too fair? Don't even start. Don't even start. Were you looking to get a little disappointed? Teardrops are in there. Don't make me laugh. Please don't touch my heart. So ask me no questions, give me no answers, and I'll tell you no lies. Were you getting yourself a little moody? Call some folks hot down like me. Oh me, oh my, oh yeah. Ain't that a strange thing? Were you starting to make a little speech about the troubles that you've seen? Please spare me that. That's a pretty game, oh yeah. Now who said life was a barbarian? Who said life was peach ice cream? Who said life was a box of cherries? Not me, not me. So ask me no questions, give me no answers, and I'll sell you no dreams. Were you thinking that you were gonna maybe have to leave this lovely town, begin again, hit one more spot? Were you feeling a little like a baby who just got itself knocked down? You say you were. I say, well, so what? Who said life was a song for singing? Who said life was such a snap? Who said life was a bell for ringing? Not me, not me. So ask me no questions, give me no answers, and I'll hand you no crap. Who said life was a song for singing? Who said life was such a snap? Who said life was a bell for ringing?
boss coming home?
Yeah. What are you looking at?
Now, cut loose, you skank!
If I were Bob, I'd shove all you unconscious!
It was me! Oh, wait, you're making a mistake! Put me down!
It's the villager!
It's a clerical error! It's Stang's fault!
The party's over. It's time to call it a day. They've burst your pretty balloon and taken the moon away. It's time to wind up the masquerade. Just make your mind up. The piper must be paid. The party's over. The candles flicker and dim. You danced and dreamed through the night. It seemed to be right, just being with him. Now you must wake up. All dreams must end. Take off your makeup. The party's over. It's all over, my friend.
Anymore. But at least lied to me.
Hey, I'm in the same boat.
I'm hurt. Way down deep inside of me.
Try to look at it from my perspective. I mean,
you said your love was true, and we'd never, never, ever part.
Hey, look.
Now you want someone new. You'll ever know.
Staying in all of his goons, they keep me in the dark.
Yes, darling.
I'm
so hurt.
I feel as wronged as you.
Because I still love you so.
Oh.
But.
How many buts do you have?
Even though you hurt me. Like nobody else.
Oh man, I'm out of here. I ain't feeling no class action lawsuit for this.
I would never, ever.
Expenses for the apocalypse. Gas, camping fees, new Nikes, black pajamas, roll of quarters. Damn. Oh, that leaves nothing for Frop for the rest of the whole damn summer. Oh, thanks a lot, Bob. Oh, why, Bob, why? What did I ever do to you? What's the idea of leaving me bereft upon that misty hilltop in New York? Oh, how I tried. I was a dupe of the first water for you, Bob. Oh, I believed, Bob. I believed in your message. I gladly lived a life without thanks, without reward, seeking only that slackful relief which is paramount to my continued existence. Oh, that's what hooked me from the first, Bob. The fact that you alone understood my pain. The agony of living on this life-sapping planet. And you told me what I longed to hear. That, yes, there was a place in the stars where the slack flowed like hot lava and the sex goddesses were even hotter. Yes. Yes, it didn't matter how much I suffered here because I would be rewarded there. So, how I debased myself for you, Bob. I prostitutalized for you, serving you on my knees night and day in the trenches of this pink conspiracy world, spreading the message of your divine withering grace among the slack-starved masses. Oh, and then, come your prophecy next day. I awaited your coming in the fearsome light of early dawn with hundreds of believers, arms spread, mouths wide open for the first barrage of face-raping bats, and it didn't come. Desperately, desperately, I looked to the skies for those gleaming iridescent escape vessels and the glorious sex goddesses within them, but they didn't come. I was looking for that ultimate good time that you promised us, Bob. And Bob, I didn't come. Oh, what does this mean, Bob? Does your word false, even to your truest believers? Are our sacred free scriptures nothing but lies? What else is there you're lying about, Bob?
What about the sex? What about the salvation? Oh, Bob, if you were wrong about X-Day, were you wrong about the slack too, Bob? Oh, no. No. I can't go on if it means living in a world without slack. Oh, Bob, I can't take this pain. Why? Why?
Oh,
have to change my plan. I should have known he'd be somebody else's man. I overlooked that point completely until the big affair began. Before I knew where I was at, I found myself up on the shelf, and that was that. I tried to reach the moon, but when I got there, all that I could get was the air. My feet are back upon the ground. I've lost the one man I found. I guess I'll have to change my plan. I should have realized I'd be an also ran. Why did I buy those black pajamas before the big affair began? My boiling point is much too low for me to cope with that elope for Romeo. I think I'll crawl right back and into my shell, dwelling in my personal.
The final hour is approaching for the people of Earth.
Oh, great advice, but how can you change your plans when half of your life has been spent preparing for a day that just didn't happen? Or did it? Did it not happen, Seekers? I was there at Brushwood and I know what I saw. Or I think I know what I saw, but oh, whatever it was truly apocalyptic. I went not knowing what to expect, but with a background sensation that we would all somehow be ripped off. Though, as I put it, one way or another, we're all going to finally get porked real good by Bob. Woo-hoo! Oh, but, you know, Seekers, I never expected to be feeling such righteous afterglow from the spiritual mugging we all suffered. Sure, staying in Jesus are brazen charlatans who took advantage of our willing gullibility, and sure, the chance of actual redemption from the skies is about zilch point nada. Oh, but still, I tried to keep that wool pulled over my eyes and to be a starry-eyed little seeker for the cause. And although deep inside there was a feeling that we were about to get the big burn of all time, I tried to deny it. Oh, but Seekers, something mystical happened out there in that subgenius sweat lodge, and I know I'm not the only one who saw it. The night of X Day Eve, after all the rituals started to peter out, I took my boombox full of apocalyptic, easy listening music out into the middle of the big ass brushwood field and stood out there, naked and alone in the dewy grass beneath a sky that was screaming with stars. And there I danced an end times dance alone in the dark. And as I swirled, everywhere I looked was alive with our people. The night air pulsed with subgenius life. All around me was a ring of their glowing campfires, and the sounds of their last night on Earth revelry carried through the cold night air and blended with the atmospheric schmaltz. And suddenly, I was moved to tears of absolute joy by it all. Because this was no longer a raggedy-ass convocation of bitter misfits and screwed-up loners. No, suddenly we were a great subgenius nation. And at that point of Satori alone there in that field, I sobbed like a damn baby over it. And in that crystalline perfect moment, I knew what it was really all about. Waiting for the saucers to arrive was a lot of kicks, sure. Oh, but that wasn't the be-all and end-all of the game. Yeah, we got burned. Oh, but at the same time, something stronger in us all got forged in those same fires. We are all in this church from the start because of our mutually shared pain and discontent. And at the risk of sounding just too damn sweetness and light, we have each other. That's where our power and our true menace to them has always lain. Oh, but by the same token, we can draw the solace and the strength that we need for our basic survival from the fact that we are a solid, cohesive, subgenius family. Yes, every one of us has a part around Bob's big dinner table, passing that steaming tureen of slack to the Yeti next to you, and happily digging into the soul-satisfying feast of Dobbs with our brethren. Sure, we're a dysfunctional family, but we're made of superior material to start with. And our version of the home game has much more amusing and fascinating characters, like our oily daddy Stang and our badass uncle Katahdin Legume and our sweet little brother Onan and our silken sister Lilith and our crusty old grandpa G. Gordon Gordon. Ha ha! Oh, and you can just think of me as your slutty sister Susie who laughs it off when you walk in on me when I'm douching in the tub. Yeah, because out there in the woods, Seekers, I got more bang for my membership buck than I ever thought possible. This church has given me, and I know it has given many others, something immeasurable. And I am absolutely shining from it all. With lovely subgenius friends like I have, I can glibly chortle at a hell of the sex goddesses. And maybe I can laugh off the sting of brutal disappointment that much more easily. Because we didn't exactly get off this planet. But for some weird-ass damn reason, I don't exactly mind living on crap ball Earth as much as I did just 2 weeks ago. And that in itself is a miracle of the first degree, baby. Oh, sure, this cult is founded on a big damn joke. But our dedication to our own is totally serious. And any lame-ass butt stain who doubts that we're a family can just look at the outpouring of support for poor stricken Pea Kitty. A subgenius so strong that not even diabetes could fell him. Oh, maybe we didn't get off this planet, Seekers. But we can use our new solidarity to create a subgenius paradise for the Utensin here on Earth. And by the way, yes, that was a huge damn X in the clouds in the pink light of early dawn on X Day morning. And it was truly a beautiful thing to see the tangible sign of Dobbs' covenant with his people, a fire in the skies over our great subgenius nation. Oh, brave new world that has such creatures in it.
Snap out of it. I think that pagan living softened your brain. How do you feel?
Oh, do I ever need a frickin' cigarette?
After that emotional display, I need a douche.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. times I've tried to find the truth. I've even lied, but all I know is down inside I'm
happy. Take a note. From now on, I'm only going to be good and kind to everyone.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't have a pencil.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure I'll remember it.